Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Live, live, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
All right, you soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this wake-up call is called Purim. The KJV and more stolen stuff. It's an ongoing thing where the Talmudists keep stealing things that are part of the heritage of true Israel, claiming that they're us. The book of Esther is used by them for this purpose. The KJV mistranslation is the root cause of all of this. The story of Esther occurs during the dispersal or dispersion of Israel this is just prior to the return of the exiles under Ezra and Nehemiah, and this book has absolutely nothing to do with quote-unquote Jews. It's not a Jewish book, it's not a Jewish holiday, it's not about the events that occurred in the lives of Jews, but the tribe of Yehuda, which is called Judah in the King James with a J, which never existed. The letter J didn't exist, so they've used the word Judah, and they've transformed it into Jews trying to steal the birthright of Israel. Well, I was listening to a show on EFR. I'm not going to name the host. I'm not going to start a battle, but he doesn't know his history, and doesn't know the history of the time of Esther. He's never read up on it. He's spouting what he thinks is Christian identity, but it's got a Judeo base to it because it's based on the King James Bible, which is highly mistranslated. All right, let's set the basis for the book of Esther. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 8 through 33, basically there was an Amalek king called Agag, and he tried to destroy Israel. He was fighting against Israel, and Shaul was the king. Now, Shaul was rebellious and didn't do what Yahweh told him to do, which was to kill every man, woman, child, ox, sheep, goat, everything of the Amalekites. He didn't want any of it. Well, Shaul put his 2 cents worth in when it happened. They killed a lot of the men and the women and the kids. They saved Agag, the king, alive in rebellion to Yahweh's command. And they didn't sacrifice. They didn't kill all the sheep and the goats and the oxen and all that stuff. He brought them back to use them as a sacrifice to Yahweh, which was still against Yahweh's command. Samuel, the prophet, called him on it, said, "Why have you done all of this?" Well, we had mercy on this because we were going to use this as sacrifice. And he says, "You were commanded not to have any mercy at all with these people." He wanted all these people and their stuff destroyed. Didn't want any of it. Bring that Amalekite king in front of me right now. And Shaul hung his head, and he brought Agag in front of Samuel. And Samuel said, "You have bereaved and killed and widowed our people. You have attacked us and tried to kill us. You're basically of cursed seed, and this is what you get." And he took a sword and he hacked him to pieces. He killed him right in front of Saul. Well, there's a fella in this book of Esther by the name of Haman. And he is a descendant of the royal house, because they didn't kill all of them. There were some survivors. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. He's a descendant of Agag of Amalek. Oh, he's a survivor way down the road. So, this survivor of King Agag, being an Amalekite and evil seed, hates Israel. Anything Israel, he hates. Wishes all the Israelites harm and death. My. Sort of like today with the Talmudists, isn't it? Same kind of people, same people. They're all blended in together. Well, that's an interesting little scenario here, because he worms his way into a position of power, just like they do today. They worm their way into the governments. And he's schmoozing around with Ahasuerus, the king, where the Israelites are in dispersion. And the story picks up from there. This Akash Warash is big time king. He reigns from Hodu, which is India, from Hindu, to Kush, just 127 provinces. He's just big, big king. He sat on his throne in Shushan, his capital. He had a beautiful queen named Vashti, and she was so beautiful it went to her head, and he had commanded that she come before him, and they were sent eunuchs to go get her, and she refused to come. Well, he really got angry, and his wise men and counselors said, look, this woman has refused to come. Now, you're having a dinner for all these potentates, all these important people, and she has disrespected you and them in front of them. This is not good for your reign. This gives you an appearance of weakness that a woman can do this to you. Well, he was hot. He was mad. So he set her aside. Okay, you're no longer the queen. You know, take a hike, babe. Okay, well, now he was alone. And he issued an order. Let all these, bring a bunch of pretty women in front of me. Let me, all these maidens, they have to be a maiden now. And I want to take a look at them and talk to them and find a new queen. Okay. Well, there's this Benjaminite named Mordecai. Now, it says in chapter 2 and verse 5, it describes him. In the citadel of Shushan, there was a certain man, a Yahudi. Now, that's not Jew. That doesn't mean Jew. It means a man of the territory or tribe of Yahuda, those who praise Yah. Not Jews, because they don't praise Yah. And Benjamin and Yahuda were together in that territory, and they were in exile. And he was in this city, Shushan, and he was taking care of his uncle's daughter named Hadassah. And that's Esther. They call her Esther. But her name is Hadassah. Now, the Jews today have the Hadassah Society. They're trying to steal the birthright and the inheritance and the history of true Israel. They try to claim that they're of the tribe of Judah, which they are not. They are Edomites. Okay? That's because of the King James mistranslation, and it's more of the stolen stuff that the Talmudists try to get off of true Israel. They want to replace us. Not happening. There's too many of us out here that know the truth now. They're failing. Continuing with the story. She was really a looker. So they gathered all these young women together, and she was taken to the sovereign's palace, and she caught his eye. He whoa, who is this? Okay. So he moved her into the palace. Now, they had a time period. She had to be prepared for the king. He didn't just take her. There was a period and ritual and all that stuff, purification and all that, that she had to go through. She did not tell King Ahasuerus that she was one of the Israelites. She kept it a secret. And Mordecai told her to do that. Mordecai came wandering around. He kept checking in on her. She was in the palace. She wasn't sleeping with the king at the time. She was being prepared. They had to wait. There was a waiting period before she could become queen. She was in the woman's quarters. He was checking up on her. Okay. In the 10th month, which is Tebet, in the 7th year of Ahasuerus' reign, she was brought before him, and she was all prepared and foo-fooed up and dressed to the killer dresses, and she just knocked his socks off and dared his shoes to move. She really bowled him over. Whoa! He had to have her, and he made her the queen. He set the royal crown upon her head and made her sovereigness instead of Vashti. Vashti was willful and disobedient, and she just got herself booted out. Well, this king really loved Esther. She was his main squeeze. They made a great big feast, and he called it the Feast of Esther. And he proclaimed a release of all debts in the provinces and gave gifts to a bunch of people, because he was a big-time king. Mordecai was hanging around the king's gate, seeing all the proceedings. All right, and he found out, he heard these two talking, sovereigns, eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh. They were doorkeepers. They were angry with the sovereign, and they were going to try to assassinate sovereign Ahasuerus. Well, Mordecai overheard this, and he told Esther, and Esther told the king in Mordecai's name, "Look, my uncle Mordecai heard this," and they investigated, and it was confirmed, and both these people, that Bigthan and Teresh, were hanged on a gallows. And it was written down in the book of the records in the presence of the sovereign. Well, Mordecai just did him a big favor. All right? And he's married to Mordecai's niece. Well, Mordecai is a Benjaminite of Israel, and so is Esther, but he doesn't know that. He just knows that she's beautiful, and he loves her. Chapter 3 of Esther. Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagi, got promoted, and he was doing business, and he was doing stuff. He wormed his way into the government like they have done today. Well, he was an Agagi, which means he was a descendant of King Agag that Samuel the Israelite killed. Well, that whole bloodline hated Israel. Still going on, okay? It's going on today. And he had been put in a big position by the king. And everybody was bowing down to him and all that stuff and flattering him. And they were all ordered to bow down to this guy. Well, Mordecai didn't bow to anybody because he was an Israelite and he was obeying Yahweh's laws. Mordecai wouldn't bow or do obeisance to this Haman. And he was called, why do you disobey this command? And they kept bugging him about it. And he told him, look, I'm a Yahudi. I'm a man of the tribe of Yehuda, or Judea, the land. And they told Haman, and Haman got really angry. That's in chapter 3. He got full of wrath. And he thought that he was going to lay hands on Mordecai. And he had heard all about the people of Mordecai. So in verse 6 of chapter 3, he sought to destroy all the Ya'udim who were throughout all the reign of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai, because he was an Agagi and he hated all Israelites. Okay. In the 12th year of Ahasuerus' reign, somebody cast Pur, P-U-R, that's casting of the lot, foretelling fortunes before Haman every day. And then in verse 8, Haman tells Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your reign, whose laws are different from all people, and they do not do the sovereign's laws. Therefore, it is not in the sovereign's interest to let them remain. Please issue a decree to destroy them, and let me pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the sovereign's treasury. He's bribing the sovereign because he's a merchant and he's a powerful merchant. He's got lots of money. That's what they do. And the king took his signet ring off and gave it to Haman, which gave him the authority to do that stuff, issue a decree and seal it with the king's ring. The king said, the silver and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. And they issued a letter, an order, to go out and kill all the Judahites. Okay, the Yahudim, not Jews, and it was published in all the provinces. Well, that sort of sealed their fate with that letter. And that had to be countered. Well, old Mordecai heard about this, and he tore his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out in the city and cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He was lamenting what was going on. And he went to the front of the sovereign's gate because he was wearing sackcloth and covered with ashes. He was mourning because of this order. And the Yahudim were doing this all over the place. They were all upset because they learned of this order. Well, Esther's servants came and told her, hey, you know what the king just issued an order to go kill all these people? Well, she told her eunuch, Hathach, that was her attendant, go out and find out what's going on. And, well, he went to Mordecai, and Mordecai told him all that was going on with this letter from this Amalekite. He gave this letter to the Amalekite, and he published it all over the place. And he was plotting to kill all the people of Yehuda. That was an Amalekite plot, and he duped the king into doing this. That's the way they do. They're doing the same to the people and the governments today. Well, Hathach comes back and tells Esther all that's going on. She tells Mordecai in a letter, nobody can approach the king, even me, unless he holds out the golden scepter. And I'm going to go in and see the king. If he didn't hold out the golden scepter and she came up to him, he would have her killed. That was the rule. Well, she was his honey. She tells Mordecai to get all the people of Yehuda, all the Israelites, and fast and pray so that she would be safe when she went in front of the king. It's a 3-day fast. Then I'm going to go to the king. Well, that's called the Fast of Esther. That's in the Israelite history from the time of the dispersion and captivity under Ahasuerus. Well, after 3 days, she dressed up really nice. And she just stood in the court. She didn't approach him. And the king held out the golden scepter so she'd come up and sit by him. Mm-hmm. So she went up and touched the top of the scepter, and that was the ritual. And the king said, what is it, Queen Esther? What do you want? Up to half my reign and it's given to you. Well, she has a plan. She says, if it pleases the sovereign, let the sovereign and Haman come today to the feast which I have prepared for him. Oh, going to have a little party for me. Ah, okay, yeah, I'll be there, sweetheart. And he says, get Haman at once to do as Esther has said. And the sovereign and Haman went to the feast which Esther had prepared. And he says to Esther at the feast, what's your petition? What would you like? And she says, it's this. If I've found favor in your eyes and pleases the sovereign to give my petition and perform my request, come to the feast, and I'll do according to the word of the sovereign. Well, they went out. Haman went out, and he was rejoicing because he was invited to the feast. So he goes out, and he sees Mordecai in the sovereign's gate, and he didn't stand or tremble before him, and he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. That's verse 9 of chapter 5. But he didn't say anything. He was just really angry. He goes home and he brags to his family how wealthy and his many sons that he had and all that stuff. And how he's exalted above all the officials and he's got to use the king's ring. And he says, besides, Esther, the queen, has no one but me come in with the sovereign to the feast. It's just a private party, and I'm invited because I'm really somebody. Well, he's really somebody, all right, and it's not going to be what he thinks. He says, but I'm angry because I see that Mordecai, the Yahudi, sitting in the sovereign's gate. In other words, he's the man of Judea. And he hates him because of King Agag years ago. There's that old, same old story. And he issues an order to his servants. Make a scaffold 50 cubits high. And in the morning, speak to the sovereign. His wife suggests this, okay, to him. Ask the king that Mordecai is hanged on it. And go with the sovereign to the feast, rejoicing. And his wife's counsel pleased him, so he had the scaffold made. Okay, woman's behind that. She's in on it. Here we are in chapter 6. I'm not reading word for word. I'm giving you the gist of the story so we can get through it in my time allotted here. In chapter 6, the sovereign couldn't sleep. So he said, bring me the book of records. And they were reading the book of records. He wanted to find out on all the news and what was going on. And it was written that Mordecai had told about the assassination plot by the two eunuchs. So in verse 3, the king said, what's been done to thank Mordecai for this? And some did nothing. Huh. Verse 4. Well, the sovereign said, who's in the court? Well, this guy Haman had come in. He was in outer court. And he was there to ask the sovereign to hang Mordecai on the wooden structure. Well, he didn't get to do that. And one of the sovereign's people said, look, Haman's standing there. He said, let him come in. And he asks Haman, what's to be done for the man whom the sovereign delights to value? Now, Haman thought in his heart, who would he delight to value more than me? Because his ego, okay? And Haman answered the sovereign, because he thinks he's going to get this himself. For the man who the sovereign delights to value, let a royal robe be brought which his sovereign has worn, one of the king's own robes, and a horse on which the sovereign has ridden, one of the king's own horses, one with a royal crest placed on its head. And let this robe and horse be given into the hand of one of the sovereign's most noble princes. Let them dress the man whom the sovereign delights to value, and make him ride on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus it is done to the man whom the sovereign delights to value. And he thinks it's going to be done to him. Well, here we go. Verse 10 of chapter 6. This is going to really mess him up. He says, hurry, take the robe and the horses you have spoken, and do so for Mordecai, the Yahudi who sits in the sovereign's gate. Let no word fail of all that you have spoken. Boom, right between the eyes. Oh, you got, whoa. No, I want to hang this guy, and you're going to honor him? Well, he couldn't go against the king. The king would kill him. So he took the robe and the horse and put Mordecai in the robe and on the horse, and he led him on horseback and proclaimed the proclamation. The king really likes this guy in front of everybody. And then Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house mourning and with a covered head. He was just tore up because his enemy had just been honored. King lifted up Mordecai, and he wants to kill Mordecai. Little coffee there. His wife told Haman, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is from the seed of the Yehudim, you are not going to prevail against him, but certainly fall before him. Well, right then, the eunuchs from the sovereign came and brought Haman to the feast, which Esther had prepared. Well, she's got a little more than a feast waiting. So the sovereign and Haman, in chapter 7, came in to drink with Esther. On the second day of the feast, at the feast of wine, sovereign said to Esther, what is your petition, sovereigness Esther? And Esther said, if I've found favor in your eyes, O sovereign, and if it pleases the sovereign, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Verse 4 of chapter 7. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be cut off, to be killed, and to be destroyed. Because he didn't know she was of the Yahudi. He didn't know that. And if we had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept silent. Although the adversary could not make up for the sovereign's loss. Well, the king says to Esther, who is he and where is he whose heart is set to do so? Who is this guy? He's going to kill my queen? Oh, no, you're not. That's what he's thinking. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this evil Haman. She points him out and said, it's him. Then Haman was afraid before the sovereign and the sovereigness. Well, the king jumped up. He's really mad. And he went stomping into the palace garden, just fuming. And Haman was with the sovereigns, pleading for his life. Because he saw that the king was gonna hurt him. So the king comes back from the palace garden, and Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was, and it looks like he was trying to go at her. And the king said, also to ravish the sovereigness while I am in the house? As the word left the sovereign's mouth, his guards covered Haman's face and just hauled him off. And Carbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the sovereign, this is verse 9, also, see the wooden structure 50 cubits high which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the sovereign, is standing in the house of Haman. He had a big scaffold. And the sovereign said, impale him on it. And they hanged Haman on the wooden structure that he had prepared for Mordecai, and the sovereign's wrath abated. Okay, there's the Amalekite getting his. See, it's all a plot of revenge against Israel by the cursed seed, Amalek. Okay? And the Talmudists bred in with all these people, including the Amalekite. They were all mixed up, and that's who we've got trying to kill us today. Same deal, different day. It's going on now. These people are descendants of this guy. And they celebrate this and have tried to steal this holiday that's coming up. It's already passed now. But I heard that the show host say something in ignorance. He didn't know. Maybe he'll listen to this and get an education. The king gave Esther the house of Haman. And Mordecai came before the king because Esther had explained what he was to her. That's my uncle. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spoke to the king and fell down at his feet and begged him to put an end to the evil that Haman had started with that plot against the Yehudim. Call back this letter, in other words. This letter's gone out by Haman to kill all the people of Israel, all the Israelites, the Yehudim, who are in the sovereign's provinces, because he had people, evil people, working for him in all these provinces. And she says, how could I see evil coming to my people or bear to see the destruction of all my relatives? They're going to kill my family. And the king said, look, I've given Esther the house of Haman. They've hanged him on the wooden structure because he laid his hands on the Yehudim. He says this. Now, write on behalf of the Yehudim as it pleases you in the sovereign's name and seal it with the sovereign's signet ring. For a letter which is written in the sovereign's hand and sealed with the sovereign's signet ring, no one turns back. That was an official order. And they do this letter. And he sends this command out to everybody. All the provinces, all in their own writing, because he ruled over a vast territory. And the Israelite people were scattered in dispersion all through this. This was prior to the return. And they sent these letters out on swift horses. And the letter said that all the Israelites, the Yehudim, who were in every city, were to assemble and stand for their lives, to cut off, to kill, and to destroy all the power of the people or province that would distress them, little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. In other words, all the people that hated the Israelites, like the ones that hate us today, that are plotting to kill us, they're going to turn the tables on them. The Israelites were commanded to fight back. Okay? They weren't just going to kill everybody. They were only going to kill the enemies and the people that were plotting to kill them. They're not going after people that are not the enemies. They're not going to kill innocent people. They're going to kill the enemies. Well, that's according to Yahweh's law, is it not? Somebody's going to murder all your people. Aren't you supposed to fight them? Well, the king dressed Mordecai up in royal garments. And all the people were rejoicing. All the Israelites were rejoicing. And a lot of people were trying to become Israelites. That's fake, okay. But they were afraid of the Israelites because they were going to do in all their enemies. Well, that's only justice. Okay, here we are in chapter 9. In other words, there were hangers on and suckers up. Oh, I want to be like you. Well, you're not. You're not of our bloodline. You can try to fake it, but uh-uh. This letter went out, and all the Israelite people gathered together and armed and struck all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with killing and destruction, and did what they pleased to those who hated them. If you hate the true heritage of Yahweh, they were killed by the heritage of Yahweh. What? Read the book of Obadiah. That Edom is to be stubble and burned up. In the last war which is coming on? Oh. Man. They killed a large number of people in all these provinces, the ones that were. They knew who had been persecuting them. They made a list. And they killed the 10 sons of Haman. They killed the Amalekites that were his sons. And there was a large number of people killed in all the provinces, and they did it for a second day. They hung the 10 sons of Haman. They brought them to the king. Okay. Let me read down here and see. They did this for a couple of days until they wiped out all their enemies. So they memorialized the 14th and 15th day of Adar yearly. That was a traditional feast in commemoration for the self-defense of the Israelites. That was self-defense. Okay, they didn't just kill everybody. They were killing all the Amalekites and all the ites that were plotting against them. So they called those 2 days Purim. Well, the Talmudists have tried to steal that holiday because of the KJV mistranslations, and they say, oh, it's all about the Jews. Mordecai was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He was a Benjaminite. He wasn't a Jew. Says it right in the book. It's a historical thing that they defended themselves against these evil people that were trying to kill Israel. So what's the point of that? We're going to have to do it again. You understand, folks? It's coming again. And it became a traditional holiday. It is not a biblically commanded feast and stuff of Esther, but it was celebrated. I've celebrated it. Same way I celebrate Hanukkah, Feast of the Dedication, when they cleansed the temple, and Yeshua Messiah, the book of Acts, he was there for the Hanukkah. He celebrated it. So that's not a Jewish holiday either. Neither is Purim. And the point of this is, there are people in CI, and even on EFR, okay, that haven't done their homework. And they still think that they're talking about the Jews, and they think this is a Jewish holiday. I mean, I'm not going to fault them. They're going from the KJV perspective. And if you just read the King James Version, you're going to get this mistranslation, and you're going to get this error that they have perpetuated because of the deliberate mistranslation of these passages. And they have tried to steal our birthright of Israel by the mistranslations of this book, because that is how they operate. They want to steal our inheritance. They claim to be Israel. Oh, we're Israelites. They even tried to name their bandit state Israeli. It's not. True Israel is in dispersion. We're not over there. We're not in Palestine. There's a new Jerusalem that's going to be coming, descending from heaven. Not an earthly thing, a city with walls here on earth. Not happening. It's going to be for Israel only. The only true white nation is going to be the kingdom of Yahweh. Until then, if mankind has rule, no matter what man they put in, it's not going to be a righteous government. There's always going to be sin and error and fault and lies and deception and corruption and all this other stuff. Just like they've tried to do, trying to steal this part of our heritage away from us. They have done this all through time immemorial. This is not something new. It's stolen stuff from the Talmudists. This should be a little educational sermon here to let you know that this is just another incident. Don't look at Purim as a Jewish holiday. It is not. It's not theirs. None of the feasts or fasts are theirs. They are not Israel. They are fakers. They're not going to get our birthright. Period. I'm going to counter them. That's all I can do. They own a lot of media. They have a lot of power. They got a lot of money. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? That's nice. But we have Yahweh, and they don't. And that's how it's going to go down. We are becoming more and more effective. Our audience is growing. The truth is going out, regardless of what lies are being told. There's a lot of false doctrine being taught. There's blaspheming of the holy name. That's all going to come down on those that are doing it. You know, they want to call us names and say we're this and we're that. Okay. Whatever you want, you do what you do. But be prepared to take the consequences of your actions. You want to hate on real Israel. You want to pick on the people that are trying to tell the truth here on EFR. Okay. Just keep on keeping on. Your lies are so blatant. Anybody that reads and studies is going to see through them. They're very thin. You want to follow false pastors out there and all this woo-woo stuff? Okay, go on. Do what you want. Yahweh only wants willing people. He does not want puppets. He's not going to try to control us. This is a free will choice that we have to make. And some people, I hate to say it, some people aren't going to make it. Okay? They love the world. They love their stuff. And Yahweh doesn't want them. He's going to reject them. They want to be fake. Okay. Your fakitude is going to come back and it's going to bite you. You want to blaspheme the holy name? There is a heavy price to pay for that. I mean, you know, you do what you want. You will anyway. You don't want to hear the voice or the truth. You want to do what you want to do. Okay? You know, that's on you. That's the whole point. They've tried to do it with this Purim thing. They've lied and through their news media and their constant harping that it's a Jewish holiday. They've almost stolen it away, but Pastor Steve is going to call them on it. Just like Esther called out Haman, I'm going to call out the Talmudists. This is not your holiday. Nothing in this book is about you. You are cursed seed. You have no part in the inheritance of Israel. You are not Israel, never have been Israel, and will never be true Israel. You are of Edom. Yahweh hates you. You are going to be hay and stubble. And true Israel is going to be the flame. And you are going to burn up. And all your works and all your stuff and all your earthly power that you have right now is not going to help you. When the wrath of Yahweh comes and the Messiah returns with a flaming sword to take vengeance on those who do not know Elohim, your time will end. And it can't come too soon for me. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you again. And praise Yahweh.
Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip,